الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي وقال تعالى قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatidah Ikram, Ulama Ikram, Aziz Talaba, respected elders and brothers, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali, in his Musnad, he has narrated a hadith, a lengthy hadith, from Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. This hadith appears in Mishkatul Masabi also. In Ajibatul Maghdiya, Imam Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that this hadith is authentic. Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi also, in Sharh al-Sudur, he has mentioned that many different narrations, all authentic, this hadith from Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, lengthy hadith explains that once one Ansari radiallahu anhu passed away. So in those years, when somebody used to pass away, not like nowadays, we have few qabrs that are ready. When somebody passes away, either some few go and now get involved with the ghusl and the kafan, while others go to the qabristan and start digging the qabr. Or otherwise, they give the ghusl kafan, then they take the janazah to the qabristan, and when they come, then they dig the qabr at that time. So anyhow, the sahabi, this Ansari who passed away, they came to Jannatul Baqi, but walamma yulhad, the qabr was not yet ready, they were still busy digging. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting one side, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was seated around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ka'anna ala ru'usina at-tayr. He said, with such adab and respect, as if birds were perched on our heads. Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu is saying, we were sitting so quiet, nobody moving. You know, if a bird is on you, you just move little, but little sound, little movement, the bird will fly away. With so much adab and respect in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was how Sahaba radiallahu anhu showed that adab and respect. Allah Ta'ala grant us that also. So anyhow, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, he had a stick in his hand, and he was moving the stick on, knocking it onto the ground. And then all of a sudden, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his head. And, أَتَّعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Two or three times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated, I seek Allah's protection from the punishment of the qabr, of the grave. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to explain that this journey that everybody has to go through, that everybody is on this journey going to that destination where we have to leave this world and go into the akhirat. But there are two roads. There are two different ways in which a person will leave this world and where he will land up or how he will go into the akhirat. One is that person who had iman, he believed in Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala was pleased with him, what will happen to him? And on the other hand, the person who displeased Allah Ta'ala, he didn't bring iman on Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala was not pleased with him, what will happen to him? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the detail, what will happen. He said, when a person now is towards the end, he's about to leave this world and now go into the akhirat. أَمَّا الْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, a person who had iman, Allah Ta'ala was pleased with that person. Now what happens is that the malaika was shining, bright faces, they come. Not malakul maut. Other malaika come. And they come with a kafan from Jannat. And they come with hanut, the perfume from Jannat. And at a distance, far away at a distance, they all sit there. They all wait there. And then malakul maut now comes to him to now extract his soul. And he addresses him and tells that person, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ, O fortunate person, your whole life, you obeyed the command of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you. So now what is happening? أُخْرُجِي, O soul, now you are going to come out of your body. But what is, don't need to worry, إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ, to the maghfirat, the forgiveness of Allah. We all are weak, we all are sinners, we all need the maghfirat of Allah Ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So whatever you did, Allah Ta'ala will overlook, you'll be forgiven. And second, moreover, وَرِضْوَان, now Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with you. What more do you want? So now he consoles that person that your ruh is going to come out, but Allah Ta'ala will forgive you, overlook all your mistakes, and inshallah you get in the pleasure, the ridwan of Allah Ta'ala. And then now his ruh is taken out, but how? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described kalma min as-siqa, for us to understand, like how you got a jug and you just pour water, how the water just pours out of the jug. That's how easily that ruh, the soul, will be extracted. As soon as Malakul Maut now takes out that ruh, then those malaika that were at a distance, immediately they come and then they take that ruh, they take that soul now from Malakul Maut. Now they put it into that kafan that they brought from Jannat with that scent and that perfume from Jannat, and now they start ascending and going up. As they come towards the first heaven, the malaika in the heavens ask, who is this fortunate person? Who is this fortunate person whose soul is coming? Then they say, it is so and so, the son of so and so, Fulan ibn Fulan. And they say, welcome, welcome. And then the doors of the first heaven are open and he comes in. Then the malaika from the first heaven now also join those other malaika, and now they go to the second. When they come to the second heaven, they again ask permission for the doors of the heaven to be opened. And in the second heaven, they ask, who is this marhaban, marhaban, welcome to this person. And then again the doors are open, and now the malaika from the second heaven join. They go to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh. And then illiyin, basically his soul is now, his ruh is now sort of registered that you are from illiyin, those fortunate people, that is where your soul is going. On the other hand, here in the dunya, this person passed away, everybody is dead. Ghusl, kafan, he's taken, he's put into the qabr. When he's put into his qabr now, his ruh is now put back. فَتُعَادُ رُوحُهُ فِي جَسَدِهِ, the ruh is put back into his body. And now the angels come. The two angels come, we all know, to question, the famous three questions. They said this is the only exam, that before the exam you got the questions and you got the answers, but still we'll find people who will fail. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Because this is not about swatting and about learning and about memorizing and about knowing. This got to do now with yaqeen, conviction and amal. So anyhow, the famous three questions. The first question he will ask, Mar Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? And this person believed in Allah Ta'ala. His tawajjuh, his nigah, his attention was all the time to Allah Ta'ala. He always obeyed the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So easily he'll say, Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. The second question then they'll ask, Ma Deenuk? What is your deen? He had deen in his life. He had Islam. That was, he said, deen al-Islam. My deen is Islam. Then they will ask him the question regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما تقول في هذا الرجل أو من نبيك. Then he will say, my Nabi is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the three questions, who is your Rabb, your deen, your Nabi, and all three questions he'll answer. Once he answers these questions, then the question will be put forward to him that you did not see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you know? So he say, but I read the kitab of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif. I brought iman on there. And that is how I know about my Nabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then an announcer will make an announcement that sadaqa abdi, from the side of Allah Ta'ala, this announcement that my banda, my servant, he has passed the test. That's the main test. That is the main test, the main day of a person. You know, sometimes people ask, different occasions got different meanings. When is the big day? Sometimes if there's an exam, a trick, something, then that is when the results are coming out. If a person is getting married, when is the big day? Big day. The biggest day in the life of a Muslim is this day when we leave the dunya and enter into the akhirah. Anyhow, when he passes the test, then sadaqa abdi, my banda, my slave has passed the test. فَفْرِشُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالْبَسُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَافْتَحُوا لَهُ بَابًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. We put him into that, he went with a normal calico kafan, into that small, narrow cover, 6 feet down. But now, the bedding from Jannah is brought. So now he's not on that stand, now that bedding of Jannah is brought. وَالْبَسُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Leave that kafan, now from Jannah, clothes are brought for him. And such a narrow qabr we put him in. But now that qabr is made as wide. مَدَّ بَصَرِي. As far as I can see, that qabr is now expanded. And a door, a window from Jannah is now open. And the fragrance of Jannah now comes into his qabr. And when he is put into the qabr, then he'll see one handsome young person, youth, and he'll ask, who are you? He'll say, I am your good deeds. I am your amal salih that came to protect you. In other riwayat, other narrations is mentioned, that when the person is put into the qabr, before Malakul Maud comes, before Munkar and Nakir come to question, then that person will see now, on his head side, he'll see his namaz, his salah. On his right hand side, he'll see his zakat. On his left hand side, he'll see the sawm, roza. And on his feet side, the steps he took to the masjid. And the various different amal will all come and protect him. He looked after the commands of Allah Ta'ala when he was alive. Now when he's gone into the qabr, all these amal will come and now protect him. So anyhow, now it is told to him that now you relax. Nam nawmat al-arus. That now you relax till the day of qiyamah. This person will be enjoying, he's in the qabr. But now that qabr has become a garden of Jannah, he'll keep on asking, he'll say, Aqim is-sa'ah, Aqim is-sa'ah. When is Qiyamah? Let Qiyamah come, because I can see my place in Jannah. I can see my place in Jannah, I'm waiting to go there. When is Qiyamah? He can't wait for Qiyamah to come, because he can see where he's going to. So this is a person who had Iman, a person who obeyed Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala was pleased with that person. This is what Allah Ta'ala grant us that all. Allah Ta'ala keep us with Iman. Allah Ta'ala give us death on Iman, and Allah Ta'ala raise us to the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Now Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting there in Jannatul Baqi and narrating to explaining to Sahaba radiallahu anhum what happens when a person is leaving dunya and going into akhirat. This is a person with Iman. And on the other hand, that person who did not have Iman, that person who did not believe in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala was displeased with that person. Now what happens to him? He also has to leave this world. As he's about to leave this world and go into the akhirat, also malaika descend. But these malaika with very frightful appearances come. And they also sit at a distance. And they don't come with any kafan from Jannah. They have some rags with them. And malakul maut comes. Now there is no ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, ayyatuhan nafsul khabitha. Oh wretched person, oh evil person. And he says, now your ruh is coming. There's no good news for you. أُخْرُجِي إِلَىٰ سَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Now, you have displeased Allah. Allah is displeased with you. What's going to happen now? Your ruh is going to come out. Anyhow, his ruh is taken out. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how, what difficulty, how it is extracted, with what pain. Like, for example, if you got a skewer, but not a straight one, a serrated skewer, and you take cotton wool, you put it in water, wet, and you have to put that skewer, and now when you pull it, how it all just gets stuck onto that serrated like knife or skewer, how it, like that, his soul, his ruh is now pulled and extracted out of his body. As soon as it comes out, those malaika come and now they put it into that rag, and there is no fragrance of Jannah. He says it is such a stench emanates. كَأَنْتَنِي رِيحِ جِيفَةٍ. A stench that emanates, that nobody ever smells such a stench. And now they start ascending also, they start going up. As they come to the lowest heaven, the first heaven, and they ask permission, they ask, who is this wretched person? No permission. لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. This soul cannot come here into the heaven. From there, now it is taken and flung into Sijjin. Now that soul is recorded as a person unfortunate. Allah Ta'ala protect us, that is now in Sijjin. On the one hand, that is what has happened. On the other hand, now that that person also is put into his qabr. When he's put into his qabr, the ruh is put back into his body. And again here, there is no a'mal around him to come and protect him. The angels come to question. They ask, Mar Rabbuk? Same three questions. Mar Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? He can't answer. Ma Deenuk? He can't answer. Ma Taqulu fi hadha rajul? Or Man Nabiyu? He can't answer. Then the announcer makes the announcement that Kadaba, this person has failed. This person has failed his test, the main exam of his life, he has failed. Now what is going to happen? We put him into the qabr. It's not just a sand and a heap of sand on top. But that person, he had a bedin of Jannat. Here now it is fire at the bottom. And there the door of Jannat was opened for him. Here the window or door of Jahannam, and the heat and the heat of Jahannam and the hot air from Jahannam now comes into his qabr. And that for that person, the person whom Allah Ta'ala was pleased with, as far as the eye could see, that how his qabr became wide and big. For this person, now that qabr is now narrowed, hatta takhtalifa fihi adla'u, where the rubs of one side penetrate into the rubs of the other side. And now for like this till the day of Qiyam. So respected elders and brothers, this is where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, this is the journey, everybody, the destination, everybody has to go on that path to enter into the Akhirat. So whether Allah Ta'ala make it that we all are from the first group, where we have those beautiful, those malaika with illuminated faces, and where Malakul Maud comes and says, Ayyatuhan Nafsul Mutmain, Allah Ta'ala make us all from that group. But that all depends on how, before that time comes, how we spend our life, what we do. Those people who hold fast onto deen, who have deen in their lives, then inshallah, as we live, that's how maut will come, how death will come to a person. But it is imperative that we have to stick to deen, and we have to stick to the original and pristine, pure deen that was brought by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to hold fast onto deen, because different tests will come, fitnas will come, and we don't know what will happen. So we have to make that effort that we stay firm on deen. And when maut comes, then Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. And when we look at the lives of our kabireen, we look at the Salaf al-Saliheen, we look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned incidents of people before us, how they stayed firm on deen. And lot of lessons we can learn from them. See how they were firm on deen, no matter what happened, because in the end, we have to pass away. The real life is the life of the Akhirat. So sometimes, we might lose out in dunya, sometimes we might lose out here in this world, but the actual life is the life of Akhirat. In a famous hadith, the hadith of the magician and the youngster, very famous hadith, many of us know it, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, just before Kitab al-Tafsir at the end of Sahih Muslim, has narrated this hadith. And in Kitab al-Tafsir, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayhi also mentioned this hadith. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated this incident which happened just now after the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, there was this one king, and the king had a magician or a sahir, jadugar, person who makes jadu or fortune teller or something like that. And he had become very old now. And he told the king that, listen, if I have to pass away now, then whatever I know, all these things here, then I'll take it with me in my grave. So we need, get for me some very sharp, youngster who will be able to learn. I'll be able to teach him all these things of mine, this knowledge that I have of this fortune telling or sorcery, black magic or whatever it is, I can teach it to him. So anyhow, they looked, they found this youngster. And now this youngster came to, they told him, you have to go and learn by this person. So anyhow, he used to come from his house, he used to come to this magician to learn from him. On the way, halfway in between, there was one person who believed in Allah Ta'ala, worshipping Allah Ta'ala day and night, which will say, Allah Wala, a pious person, he was sitting there. He used to have his place where he used to worship Allah Ta'ala. So he used to pass his one now and then, and he stopped, he went to him, he sat with him, he used to tell him, he heard a little bit from him. So now he got affected also, so he also accepted Iman. So now he used to come this side, Now when he, in between he stops here, he listens every day a little bit, learns a little bit, and then carries on. When he comes to the magician says, you got late, then he used to hit him. Then when he goes home again, sometimes he used to sit, then he comes home, they say, now you got late. At home they used to hit him, say, why you late? Scold him, shout him, hit him, whatever, why you late? So now, he came back to this pious man where he was learning deen from, and he told him, see, this is what is happening. When I go there, so now this is what we learn also. Some, we always go back to our elders, we go back to our kabirin when there are some problems, and what to do, we'll get directives, inshallah. And we'll come out of that problem, they'll find for us solutions, inshallah. So here, he asks, what to do? So he says, no, when you go to the magician, he asks you, why are you late? You say, habathani ahli. I got late there by my family. And when you come home, they ask you, why are you late? You say, habathani sai. Today the magician took long, I got late there. So now, that's why I got late. Inshallah, then you'll be out of your problem. So anyhow, he started this. So here also, what we understand, that when it comes to protecting our deen, then there are always, we have systems. Sometimes the system is oppressing our deen. The system is putting restrictions on our deen. So we always look for loopholes in that system, but we don't look for loopholes in our deen. We keep our deen intact how it's supposed to, and we look for loopholes in the system. Like how zulam, oppression is done on our money, on our property, on what we own when it comes to dunya. They put tax upon tax upon tax. Now every corner you take, you have got some tax you pay in. You put on the light switch, using some electricity, you pay in VAT on there. You throw water down the drain also, and that water goes down the drain, you pay in tax also. Then you buy something, you pay in tax. When you die also, then there's some estate duty, they don't leave you there also. When you want to buy a house, it's your house, you still have to keep, after you bought it, you still have to keep on paying something. After you want to sell it to someone, then again. So they make zulam and zulam upon your money, but then what we do, because it got to do with our dunya, then we are very sharp. Then what we do, we say, no, okay, then we put it on, we find out, okay, you can do a trust, or you can do a company, you can put it on this one's name, you can do like this, and you can put it like this, so when you die, then it will be done like this, and like this. So now, we look for loopholes in that system, how we can avoid that zulam, and how we can protect our wealth. So like that, when it comes to dunya, that we all understand, and that we got people also, they can, you go, you pay them, they'll advise you exactly how you must do it. So you can save most of your money, and the least amount can go to the other people. So like that, when it comes to deen also, sometimes different halat are put, different, sometimes laws are made, some things are, directives are given. So this is how our outlook should be, that our deen we have to protect. Our deen should remain 100%. Not one law comes, and then we change the whole method of performing salah that was carried on for 1400 years, taught to us by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, our deen will remain 100%. And in that system now we look for some loopholes, but how our deen 100% we can keep it. Otherwise what will happen, some one instructor, one protocol, one something will come, and then we start changing this, and then tomorrow something will come, immediately something comes, without thinking, without even blinking an eye, immediately now we'll change our deen, just so that now we can now be muafiq to whatever has been said. So we can be sure that we are very responsible citizens, that we are doing everything 100%. But in a business then, mashallah, then that same ideology or that same thought pattern, that is not there. But now when it comes in the masjid, in our deen, and every single thing will come, we'll immediately want to change. Immediately we'll want to change. What will be left of our deen? If every day something comes, we'll change one, we'll change. Like the famous incident we had, our Muhtam himself, Damat Barakatum, always mentioned that the person who had the trouser was long, little bit needed to hem one hem. So he came home. So then he went, he's there living in the house, his mother is also there, his sister is there, his wife is there. So he went to his wife, said, you know, this trouser of mine needs one hem, just one hem please. So she said, I'm whole day, I'm working, your mother just says, they hold and does nothing, why don't you go ask her? No. So he went to his mother, he said, you know, my trouser, one hem I need. So mother said, yeah, but your sister, I'm from small, I'm looking after your sister, sits here and does nothing, why don't you give it to her? So he went to the sister, she also said, I'm busy, cook the whole day, I do this, why don't you give it to your wife? So anyway, he got there, my wife don't want to do, sister doesn't want to do, mother doesn't want to do, he hung the trouser there, he went to sleep. Now his wife came past and said, at the end of the day, it is my husband, so when, cut it, hemmed it. Then she hung it back. Then the mother came, after all, it is my son, took it, cut it, hemmed. Then after that, the sister came, after all it is, my brother took it, cut it, and so the next morning he woke up, he saw the trouser, he put it on, he had a corto. No, a short trouser. So now, if that is, if everything, one thing comes, we change our deen. Next thing comes, we change our deen. We won't be left with it with deen. That pristine, pure deen that was brought by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like that here, so that youngster, he took him a solution. He said, when you get there, tell my family kept me up. That's why I got late. When you go to the side, you say, you know, the magician kept me up. That's why I got late. Anyhow, he carried on. He accepted Iman also. He was learning now, attending the majlis of this pious person all the time. One day as they were walking, there was an animal, a big, like a lion or some type of animal in the middle of the road. Now, people couldn't pass. And now he came. So now, this is now, he picked up a stone and he made dua. And he said, oh Allah, I go and I accepted the deen, what I have learned by the person who is making ibadah, who is worshipping you. And on one side I got this magician also who is teaching me. Ya Allah, if what that person is teaching me, the pious man, if what he is teaching me is true, it is right, oh Allah, then let this animal be killed so people can now pass. And he threw the rock at him, at the animal, and Allah Ta'ala made it that animal died, and the people now passed. Now it became famous that look at this youngster, that how he threw that one stone and that animal died. And now people used to come to him, and mashallah, he used to make dua for them. Allah Ta'ala used to give shifa, sicknesses that normally they couldn't treat, they used to come to him. Blind people used to come to him, he used to make dua, Allah Ta'ala used to restore their eyesight. So now he became famous also. So there was this minister that used to be always there by the king. He was blind. So he also heard of it. So he went to this youngster and he told him that see, all that he gave, brought a whole lot of hadiah and gifts. And he said, if you restore my eyesight, whatever is there you can have, you can take. So he said, but I don't give shifa. So he said, no, Allah Ta'ala is the one that gives shifa. You bring iman on Allah Ta'ala, believe in Allah Ta'ala, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will give you shifa. So here also we learn from this year that this is our duty for ourselves also and for others also. All the time we have to turn our tawajjuh and our attention to Allah Ta'ala. And anybody, when halat are coming on any person, any individual, any community, on the ummah, then our tawajjuh we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. We have to turn our tawajjuh and everyone's tawajjuh and attention to Allah Ta'ala. See, this person came, he's in a problem, he wants his eyesight back, he's telling, no, you bring iman on Allah Ta'ala, make dua, Allah Ta'ala will give you shifa, Allah Ta'ala will restore your eyesight. So we have to turn our tawajjuh, and we have to turn everyone else's tawajjuh also to Allah Ta'ala, to akhirat. Halat will come, halat, tough halat, difficult halat will also come, but we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. When we turn to Allah Ta'ala, وَأُفَوِّذُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. When we turn, ufawwidhu amr, we turn our matter to Allah Ta'ala, full tawajjuh to Allah Ta'ala, hand our matters over to Allah Ta'ala, then the natija, the result of them, of that, fa waqahu Allahu sayyi'ati ma makaru. Allah Ta'ala will protect us from whatever the plots and the plans and whatever people are doing against our deen, Allah Ta'ala will protect us. So here he turned his attention, you bring iman, make dua, Allah Ta'ala will restore your eyesight. So the person brought iman, accepted iman, made dua, Allah Ta'ala restored his eyesight. He came back to the king. The king saw, oh, this person is now. He said, who gave you your eyesight? So he said, Allah, Rabbi, my Rabb. So he said, you have any Rabb besides me? He says, yes, my Rabb and your Rabb is Allah. Rabbi wa Rabbuka Allah. So the king was now upset because people used to worship him. Now who's this minister of his all the time? Now he was with me. Now he's saying, Rabbi wa Rabbuka Allah. So now he started punishing him. Torturing him, till eventually he said about this youngster, that this youngster, I went to him, he told me that I brought iman, I made dua. So he called this youngster. Now he started punishing this youngster also, torturing him, until eventually the youngster now mentioned the name of that pious man where he initially went and where he learned deen. So now they called that person, they told him, you leave what you are doing, your deen, and now you worship me, how you, everyone's supposed to worship me, the king is saying, you leave your deen and you follow this. Others will punish you. So he refused. He blankly refused, that I will never leave my deen. So in front they brought a saw, and they cut him in half. فَوَقَعَ شِقَّاهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrating this incident of what happened. He says, two parts fell in half, one this side, one that side. Anyhow, then they brought now the ministers, and they told him, you also leave your deen. He said, no. So again they took that saw and they cut him in half. فَوَقَعَ شِقَّاهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ One side, half this side, half that side. Now they brought the youngster. Now they told this youngster that you also, you saw what happened. Now you also, you leave your deen. So he refused. So now the thing, king thought, let's use some other ways. Instead of just killing him, two were killed, there's one left. They were, now look at this. This is another important aspect we see. That in that whole kingdom, three people believing in Allah Ta'ala. Minority. Minority, but when minority, we stick to deen. There is no different deen when you are majority and when you are minority. Nowadays we have different things. Fiqhul aqalliyat. Fiqhul aqalliyat. Some new term that the fuqaha never ever understood. Nobody ever heard of it before. So fiqhul aqalliyat basically means you are minority, so now you have a different fiqh, a different masla. Now everything becomes jais basically. So many, many years ago, when I was in Jordan, and Mufti Rafi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, he came to Jordan at that time. So there were some ulama that were sitting around, and they told him that this new thing which is coming from the more the non-Muslim countries, this thing is called Fiqhul Aqalliyat. So he asked, what is this Fiqhul Aqalliyat? Something like new, which is this. So he said, Fiqhul Aqalliyat basically, because you are not in a Muslim country, so now, okay, that's also, chalo, that also you can do, interest also you can do, you can do, you can get involved in this. So after listening to the whole thing, he said one sentence. He said, هذا كفر صريح. The khulasa of this whole thing is that it is basically kufr. You are destroying the whole of deen in the name of deen. So anyhow, these were minority. Three people who had accepted iman, and how they stayed firm on deen. Person is cut in half with a saw, second one cut in half with a saw, and the third person, the youngster, is brought. He's saying, no, I stick to my deen. Anyhow, the king commands. And he says, now take him, some few people of his army, he tells him, take him to the mountain top. When you reach the mountain top, then again you tell him, you leave your deen, no problem, you'll be saved. Your life will be protected. If not, we're going to throw you down the mountain. So as they came, they took him right till the top of the mountain. What this youngster did? Tawajju ila Allah. Turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'it. What a dua. Simple short dua, but with yaqeen. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'it. Oh Allah, you protect me and deal with them how you feel suitable, how you want to. Allah Ta'ala caused that mountain to shake. All of them fell, and he fell down the mountain, died, and he remained. He came walking back to it. The king saw him, asked, what happened? He said, Allah Ta'ala protected me, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. King was astonished, but now sometimes the king didn't think there's only this one youngster there, but he wanted that there must be nobody with iman in this king, in this kingdom. So at whatever cost, we have to get rid of this person. So whatever it will take, we need to kill this person, this youngster. So he took another few of his army, said, take him in a boat, in a ship, go into, right in, deep into the ocean, and when you come deep in the ocean, then you ask him the same thing, tell him, leave your deen, we'll go back with you. You don't leave your deen, we'll throw you here, you won't be able to swim back. Anyhow, they came to the deep in the ocean. Again, tawajju ila Allah, turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'it. Oh Allah, you protect me and deal with them how you feel. So with yaqeen, when you make dua, then the main thing, we make dua, tawajju ila Allah, with yaqeen. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in Abid is one incident, when Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when they were in the time of partition of India-Pakistan, when they were, things were very difficult, they were stuck in the Merkaz in Delhi, in Nizamuddin, and the rations and the food was also very short. So he says, the vegetable market was in an area with Hindus and more Sikhs, and it was very that time it was very difficult, nobody dared to go there, but there was one person, one very old worker, Babu Yad Rahmatullah Ali in the Merkaz. So he used to go. People used to be shocked, how you go? But he used to go, right in the middle he used to go there, and he used to get the ration, They used to only get a ration table about 15 people or so, but for the children at least they used to use it, give it to the children. But he used to go and get the vegetables from there, what they used to, the rations they used to give them. So he used to go. So one day it happened, he was coming back on that rickshaw, the tanga, and there was one Hindu and few Sikhs, and he was there. And as they go in now, they also speak to each other. Look at this Muslim alone, and he's so audacious that he's sitting in the middle here with us. So now they make an ishara to each other, and then they say, no, we must finish them, finish him off. So he looked at them, he said, I got such a thing by me, that you won't be able to touch me. So now they're also thinking, what he got, a gun, or what he got by him. So anyhow, they're still making ishara to each other, anyhow they came there, till where he had to get off, there by Nizamuddin. So they couldn't touch him, they were so scared. Anyhow, when he jumped up, they asked him, what's this thing that you got? He said, no, this thing is not, you're not supposed to see it, and I'm not supposed to show you also. So anyhow, when he came, he told Hazrat Shaykh, so Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah asked him, what is that thing? So he said, this is the same dua you taught me. The same dua you taught me, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim, wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Just a simple dua. We know this dua, we all learn it in Maktab, we learn this dua, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim, wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. But with such yaqeen, he said it, he couldn't touch him. So anyhow, that youngster, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'it. Oh Allah, you protect me. What happened, that whole boat tilted, they all fell off, he didn't fall off, and he came back. Now the king was more perplexed, what to do? We need to get rid of just one person, two already we sorted them out, one person still, he has iman that we need to finish him. So Ahle Batil, sometimes they try different things, because especially when they say deen is rising, deen is coming, our elders explain, it's just sometimes like the elephant. You know, the elephant, when that straw goes into its tongue, into its nose, then now the elephant, now it stomps this way, it puts its foot here, because now, when deen wasn't alive, deen wasn't there, deen wasn't coming alive, then that elephant, but now it's gone into the nose, now it's affecting him, deen is coming alive everywhere, masjids are coming, so now somebody say, bend the niqab, do this, do that, it's trying to stomp here, stomp there, but we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُ. So anyhow, so this youngster, he told the king, see, listen here, you want to get rid of me, no problem. There's only one way. Get all the people in one open field. Get them all here. Then you take an arrow from my quiver. And you must read this. You say, Bismi Rabbi Hadal Ghulam. Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Rabb of this youngster. And then you shoot that arrow, and then I'll pass away. That's the only way you'll be able to. But now he wanted to get rid of him. So he didn't realize that this young man was actually sacrificing his life and using his life to give dawah to the whole country. So anyhow, so the king did this because now he needs to get rid of this man with iman. He's not supposed to be here. Everybody, not one person should have iman in my kingdom. So anyhow, so he got everybody together, and they took from his quiver, they took that arrow, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, and they shot it, and the arrow hit on his temple. The youngster put his hand, and he fell down, passed away. As soon as that happened, everybody said, Amanna bi Rabbil Ghulam. So one youngster gave his life, and thousands of people got hidayat and accepted iman. So in today's time, we'll be saying that the maqasid of sharia is that you must protect your life. Protection of life, preservation of life is the most important thing in deen. How can you give your life like this? When we go far away from the understanding of sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they understood deen, then sometimes we will get our own understanding of deen, which goes totally against what the actual maqasid of sharia is. This youngster was ready to give his life, and in the natija, the result of it, hundreds of thousands of people got hidayat. Now, junna jununa. Now the king, now agbagola. Then what to do now? Here there were three people. Three people are gone, but now there are hundreds and thousands who got iman now. Now what to do? So now again, Ahle Batil, sometimes they use, sometimes gajar, sometimes churi, Sometimes they use money, sometimes they use that, sometimes they use the hard way, destroy, kill. So now he said, dig trenches all over, put wood, light the fires, and let everybody tell him, you leave your deen, your life will be saved. You don't leave your deen, jump into the fire, or we'll throw you into the fire. قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود. Look at these people. People, they just brought iman at that time. But what iman Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, that they stood firm on their iman, and those trenches were dug, the fires were lit, and they jumped in, or they were thrown in to the fight. One lady came, she had a small baby that couldn't even yet talk, and now she's going to jump with her child, with that baby. The baby also is going to burn. What's going to happen? So she hesitated a little. Allah Ta'ala made that baby that couldn't speak, Allah Ta'ala made the baby speak and say, Ya Ummah, isbiri fa innaki ala al-haq. Sabr, you are on haq, jump, no problem. So like this here, and Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. The only reason this happened is because of them bringing iman. But who they brought iman on? Allahil Azizil Hamid. Alladhi lahu mulku as-samawati wal ard. Allah Ta'ala, the heavens, the earth, everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. On that being they brought iman. And then after that, what Allah Ta'ala mentions, Inna alladhina fatanul mu'minina wal mu'minat thumma lam yatubu. Those people, they made zulm, they oppressed those people of iman. What happened to them? They didn't make tawbah. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. We do not know their names, who they are, who they were. They also had to go into the Akhirat. What is there for them in the Akhirat? Jahannam, Aghi'a, Jahannam, and the fire of Jahannam forever and forever. And these people, if a person from a materialistic point of view, he looks and he says, look at these people. They brought iman and they lost out on everything. They lost out on their life. What happened to them? They never gained anything. They brought iman and then they gave their life also. But Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. They gave their lives. They burnt in this world. In that fire they were thrown, or they had to jump in. And they lost their lives. They burnt to death. But they never burnt. They burnt to death. But in the Akhirat, Jannat, such gardens, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, beneath which rivers of ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. That is the greatest success. That is success where they gave their lives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. They got saved in the Akhirat. People who do not have iman, they can't understand the success. Like Hazrat Haram radiallahu anhu, famous incident, Bi'r Ma'una, when the person who accepted Islam later on, Hazrat Jabbar radiallahu anhu, that time he wasn't a Muslim, he came from the back and he says, I stabbed him with my spear, I pushed it through his back, and as he was falling down, he says, فُزْتُ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. He's giving his life for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And what he's saying, فُزْتُ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ, by the Rabb, by the Qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba Sharif, فُزْتُ, I am successful. So Jabbar, that time wasn't a Muslim, he says, I couldn't understand. I am killing that man. He's dying. And he's saying, I am successful. What's the success he's talking about? He said, I went asking, eventually he found out, this is iman, this is akhirat, that is jannat. He also accepted iman. So that is why the ulama explained to us, we have to look at the lives of sahaba radiallahu anhum. We keep their lives in front of us, then we understand how we have to understand deen. Because sahaba radiallahu anhum, there's one incident when the Muslims, after the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were towards Rome, that is now present day Turkey side, that side. And Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was also in that army. And the Romans were on one side, the Muslims were on one side. And all of a sudden one of the Muslims dashed into the thick of the Roman army. And people saw it, the others from that area. And they say, look at this person. He's going into jail. He's throwing himself into destruction. He's throwing himself into destruction. He's jumping into the middle of the battle, into the middle of the enemy lines. He's throwing himself into destruction. So they said, make it ishara, alluding to that ayat, لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't throw yourselves into destruction. Don't throw yourselves into destruction. So they read this ayat or made ishara to this ayat for that person who has given his life for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Immediately Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, he said, people listen, this ayat was revealed regarding us. Let me explain to you. You are quoting this ayat or making ishara to this ayat for that person who is ready to give his life for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Let me explain to you what happened. He says, he was a mehman, the mezban of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the very first day. So he says, from the beginning, we were with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ansar. We gave everything. We neglected our orchards because of deen. Now when many people started accepting Islam, and lot of people accepted Islam, now we thought to us, the Ansar, we thought that now, we gave enough now. We made enough sacrifice for deen. Now is their turn. They can also now give. And now we can tend a little to our orchards that we neglected for so many years. So he says, we still were just talking. We still didn't go to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ayat was revealed. لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't throw yourselves into destruction. You sacrificed so much for deen. Now you want to leave the effort of deen. Don't do that. So he says, that ayat was revealed regarding us. Here this person is going to give his life for deen, and you want to quote the same ayat for him. That is why they say we have to understand deen, how Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood deen. As the Mawlana Umar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Balanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, used to give a very beautiful example. In my own words, to give this example, similar, that says if the father is sitting alone there in a lounge, and he tells the son, better fetch water, panila, bring water. So he'll go, he'll bring one glass of water. After a few minutes, now some visitors come. Now the father is sitting with 2-3 of his friends, and he again calls the son and he says, panila. Now he's not going to fetch one glass of water. Now he'll bring the jug of water and few glasses. After a few minutes, those friends go away. Now the car is outside. Now the father wants to wash the car, he rolls up his sleeves, he tells the son, Pani now, fetch water. So now he's not going to bring one glass of water. He's not going to bring a jug of water. Now he'll bring a bucket of water. So all three times the sentence was the same. Bring water. Bring water. Bring water. Now there was a gardener was outside the lounge there. The first time he heard, bring water. Second time he heard also, bring water. Third time also he heard, bring water. What his understanding of bring water, bring water, bring water, he won't know exactly what it means. But that son who saw that the first time the father was alone, so he brought one glass, he knew, fetch water, bring water meant one glass of water. The second time he understood it means bring a jug of water with few glasses. And the third time he understood, bring a bucket of water. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they learned deen direct from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to see how they understood deen, and that is how we have to understand deen, and that is how we have to try to keep deen in its pristine purity as the Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood it and passed it on. That is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they sacrificed their lives to protect deen. And today we have drifted so far away, that today we say we sacrifice our deen to protect our lives. So we sacrifice our deen, the masjid, the method of performing salah, visiting our parents, looking after the elderly, all what is deen taught us, we sacrifice our deen to protect our lives. Whereas Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they sacrifice their lives to protect deen. So everything, we have to look how Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood it, and see how they understood it, and that is how we have to understand deen. If we do not keep that in front, we see Sahaba radiallahu anhu, like we heard in the plague, Ta'un of Amwas. Then, very famous incident, thousands and thousands passing away. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, then his son also, now it came onto his hand, and he sees the sign that he's about to pass away. And what happens? He still goes to the masjid. فَرَجَعَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ He goes to the masjid, he comes back from the masjid, nobody told him, "Oh, in your house now the plague, your son has been afflicted, and you coming to the masjid. What irresponsible person are you? You still coming to the masjid?" No. And later on, after the town of Amwas, then it was another Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, just can't get his name now, another town came, another plague came. Now this time they were in Kufa. And Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So now the plague is spreading, and he came into his house. And his students used to come, so he told them, let's see. Here in my house there are now people who have been afflicted also, and you are coming here, no problem. He says, you want to come? No problem. And saying anybody doesn't feel like coming, he wants to stay by his house and he doesn't for this little while, doesn't want to come, he said, no problem. He says, but two things you don't do. He says, if you are coming here and you also get afflicted with the command of Allah Ta'ala, then don't say that if I had to stay at home like how so and so stayed at home, then I wouldn't have been afflicted. And he says, and if you stay at home and you're not coming to attend this majlis of mine, and you don't get afflicted, then don't ever say that if I stayed away, that's why I didn't get sick. Nobody, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, performed salah 100% every day. There is no narration where they stopped their namaz, they changed the method of performing salah, they did anything else. Anybody told him, oh, anna lillahi, your students are still coming to you. How you allow them to come? Are you so irresponsible? Are you still allowing them to come? He said, no, you want to come? Come, no problem. So we have to keep on looking at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, understand. Otherwise, when we cut off and we drift far away, then what will happen? Now we'll have our own understanding. Our own understanding, and in the name of deen, we'll be having something which we will call deen, but it will be very far away from deen. Sometimes, some people have different. Some person puts, for example, his qawm, his rituals and the practices of his customs, he keeps that in front of him. Now he wants to try to make that part of deen. Sometimes some people look at the West, what the West is doing, what the Kuffar are doing, what the non-Muslims are doing. Now he wants to follow that, but now he wants to give it a deeny flavor also. Like, you know, the non-Muslims, they say ladies first. The West, they say ladies first. So now, many, many years ago, there was this person in Egypt. Now ladies first. Now everything that is coming from the non-Muslims, they want to find somehow. So now, the person will look. He will look and he will search and fine comb the whole deen, the whole Quran Sharif, so he can find something to prove ladies first. Because in deen, we know men first. We read the whole Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَبَثَّ فِي مِنْ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Men, ladies, men is always first. So this person, but now that is in his head. He wants to prove ladies first, but he knows ladies first is coming from the West. But now we have to give it and show the people that no, that's got some substantiation in deen also. Like how we distort the method of performing salah, and we look for somewhere that way we can find something to pull out some shosha somewhere and to show that no, that's got something. It is actually part of the sunnah to read namaz like this. Na'udhu billah. So now this person looked. Now where are you going to find every ayat? The man is first and then the woman. So he found one ayat now. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. So now here the Mufassirin explain, Allah Ta'ala mentions that some people don't have any children. Some people Allah Ta'ala gives them girls. Some people Allah gives boys. But here Allah Ta'ala put girls first. Why? Because people never used to like it when they have girls. They used to only want boys. So that's why Allah Ta'ala mentioned girls first. So here he found this ayat. So now he went everywhere. Let's see. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. Quran Sharif is putting ladies first. So that you see, ladies first. So somebody told him, why just carry on reading? أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانُ. Immediately the next ayat, men is first again. So now, when we drift far away, then we'll have our own understanding. Then sometimes, but we have to give it a deeny flavor to show that no, although what is coming from the authorities, we want to implement that, but now we have to prove or try to prove that this is part of deen. So we'll get people like that. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings, يَحْمِلُ هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله. That you'll find people who will learn the deen. Pious, upright people who will learn the deen in every generation. And what will they do? يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. People who will distort, or they will misrepresent, or they will try to prove something which is not part of deen from deen. You'll get people like this. But these people, pious Allah wa'ala, people with ilm and with deen and upright Allah wa'ala, fearing Allah ta'ala, they will now do away with it. They will now give you the true understanding of deen, the true picture of deen they will present to you. So sometimes this will happen because there will be people who are going to do this. In fact, there was one person, one of the very famous Freemasons, a Muslim or so-called Muslim who was linked to the Freemason in Egypt, and he had his student. So his student worked his way in Al-Azhar till he reached the top, one of the top positions where he was now one of the main people in Al-Azhar. And linked to the Freemason. And then he, from that position of his, now he started destroying the whole Al-Azhar and destroying and passing ajib ajib fatwas. So one of the letters that his sheikh, the Freemason sheikh, wrote to him, in there he said, نَقْطَعُ لَا نَقْطَعُ رَأْسَ الدِّينِ إِلَّا بِسَيْفِ الدِّينِ. He said, one is the attack that we make, the attack that they attack Muslims and kill Muslims, that is one attack. He said, to destroy deen, we have to destroy deen with deen. So he says, when people will look at me, he used to wear a big, the sheikh of his, we have big turban and kurta, beard. He says, people will look at us, rukka'an sujjada, khushya'an ubbada. They will think us to be great people who are worshipping Allah Ta'ala. But this is our object, that we are going to destroy deen from within. So sometimes it will come fiqhul aqalliyat, sometimes it will be maqasid of sharia, sometimes it will be zarurat, sometimes it will be umum balwa. These are things part of deen, but they will be so not used, abused, now to distort the whole of deen. So that is why we have to keep deen in its pristine purity. How Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught deen to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Sahaba radiallahu anhu passed this deen. So we have to keep that true deen. Otherwise a person will be practicing on something, he'll be thinking he's on deen, but he'll be far away from deen. Like one Jamaat went to one place. So they found, there's the Christians on one side, one of those islands, Christians on one side, and the Muslims on one side. So the Christians are saying, Na'udhu Billah, Isa al-Islam, Jesus, is the son of God. And the Muslims are adamant, no, Muhammad is the son of God. Na'udhu Billah. But they adamant that we are on haq because we say Muhammad is the son of God. And they think we are true, proper Muslims, and these people are going to Jahannam, and we are going to... So far they have drifted of deen, but they still think they are deen. So, like we were mentioning, one is the journey we are on, everyone is on the journey to Akhirat. That is the... Everyone has to go into the Akhirat, into the Qabr Akhirat. How we go, that depends on how we live our life. And how we have to live our life is we have to keep deen. Deen is what was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed on to Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If we do not keep that in front of us, then what happened? Like once one person came to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud rahmatullah alayhi, and he told him, person who was linked to Jamaat-e-Islami, Maududi Sahab's movement. So anyhow, so he came to him and he said, I am linked, Mera Taluk, Jamaat-e-Islami. I am linked to Jamaat-e-Islami. So Mufti Sahab rahmatullah, he was very, mashallah, so he told him, I am linked to Islami Jamaat. So he said, oh, what's the difference now? Jamaat-e-Islami, Islami Jamaat. He said, no, it's a big difference. He said, Jamaat-e-Islami is, your Jamaat is first, and Islam is now Tabi after that. So what your Jamaat, whatever your ideology is, now you will twist and turn your deen to fit into your Jamaat. Whereas I am from Islami Jamaat, so Islam is first, and then our Jamaat now will fit into whatever Islam tells us. So Islam is muqaddam, Islam is first, and our Jamaat and all our efforts is now tabi to Islam. But yours is Jamaat-e-Islami. Your Jamaat, whatever your Jamaat says, that is first, and then now you will put your deen tabi to them. And then what kind of qiyas also you person will take out? That is why Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi also mentioned that about Maududi Sahib, then he used to wake up 9 o'clock. Fajr, he wasn't there in the masjid, not reading Fajr. So somebody told him that now Fajr namaz is faraz, why are you not reading namaz, your Fajr namaz? So he says, because he used to work late at night. He used to write. He was very good with his pen, so he was writing till late at night. So he says, you see, my writings, that is jihad of the pen. And on the occasion of jihad, at the time of Khandaq, namaz was made mu'akhar. So I'm busy in jihad till late at night with the jihad of the pen. So for me to miss Fajr namaz is also okay. So you get different type. That's why we say we have to keep the understanding of deen, that true, pure deen, we have to protect it. And that is what we have to practice on. When we keep that true, pure deen, then inshallah, then when the day comes inshallah, when our eyes will close, then inshallah, then our eyes will open, then inshallah, that when it ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And for that also we have to make effort, we have to make a lot of dua, we have to turn our tawajjuh to Allah Ta'ala, and we have to turn the tawajjuh and the nigah, the focus of the ummah towards Allah Ta'ala, towards akhirat, towards jannat. That is dunya. Dunya comes, dunya goes, dunya changes, halat come, halat go. But the asal is we have to stick to deen, and whatever happens, in the end we have to pass away. How we pass away, that is our biggest day, the biggest day of a Muslim, how he's going to pass away, and what is in store for us in the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala give us all.